With you all today. Keep your place in the book of Matthew, and in chapter 9, that will be the text we'll be looking at tonight in this lesson. I'm indeed grateful to have the health that I do have and enjoy to be able to be here and share a portion of God's Word with you. When we think of sickness, what comes to mind? If you're like me, people come to mind. I think long and hard. I don't have to think that long and hard to think about somebody that I know that's been touched with some kind of sickness, both great and small. One of the saddest things that I experience is when my kids are sick. It really bothers me. I wish I could do something to help them. And one of the things I've recently done is I went to the store and bought some vitamin C tablets, and I had my kids on a heavy dose of vitamin C and other different things, trying to ward off colds and different things. And despite all my efforts, they still get sick. They still come down with something. And I'm grateful that those sicknesses pass, but there are sicknesses and people that you are thinking about who have went to the doctor, have been to the physician, but they're no longer here. It's a sad reality of this life, and it's a sad reality of what happens often when we go to the doctors. Because let's face it, we don't go to the doctors when we're well. We go to the doctor when we are sick, when we are afflicted, when we need help with something to do in our body. I think it's interesting to build upon what we said this morning, that God has devised a plan to save mankind. The plan is very simple. We make it difficult because we will not submit to what God has said in His Word. And it becomes difficult because when we talk to somebody that claims to be a Christian or claims to be religious in nature, we find what we study in Scripture to not jive with what they're saying. And that poses hardships between us too. As you sit down and you care for somebody and they believe something different, you begin to talk with them and you see the differences that are there, there are hardships that set in. God's plan is not difficult. It's not hard. But we as creatures today often come at Scriptures with a few different viewpoints. One, we are sincere. Two, we are not sincere. And three, we are just ignorant when it comes to Scriptures. And so when we get this all colliding together, it's often a jumbled mess. And so it's so important that we look to Scriptures, that we look to the great physician, as we'll talk about tonight, and as we'll sing about in the invitation song. It's important that we go to Him with life's greatest sickness, and that is sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 teaches us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every person in this building, if not been touched, will be touched with this great sickness, which we call sin. I've got two beautiful girls that have obeyed the gospel, and I'm grateful for that. I've got three little ones that will eventually be tarnished with this great sickness called sin. My hope and desire is that when that time arrives and they reach that age of accountability, that they too will not turn to me, not turn to their mother, but turn to the great physician, because He is the only one that can take care of this great sickness that enters our bodies by choice. I think it's interesting. Also, as I look at this statement of great physician, we know that Jesus, talk about Luke, the great, he is a physician. He was one that was acquainted and knew all too well the ailments that come to the body. But we also know that Jesus employed farmers and fishermen to deal with taking the gospel to those that are lost, this great plague that faces mankind today. But they didn't go on their own accord with their own message. The message that they were giving was the message from God. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, they talked and reasoned with people about sin and how to get their life right with God. And that happens through Jesus Christ. And so I want to talk this evening about three or four quick points dealing with the subject of sin. Point number one, the deadly disease which we call sin. I want to look at a couple of verses here. In Isaiah 59, let's deal with this deadly disease. When I say that word, you're probably thinking about cancer. We're not talking about cancer in the physical sense, but we are talking about spiritual cancer. The thing that will destroy us, that will take our lives, if not addressed, in our body. In Isaiah chapter 59, in verse 1, it says this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear you." Verse 2 really hits the nail on the head as we begin this lesson this evening. This is a deadly disease. It's a disease that affects us, and when it affects us, the consequences are great. We lose our relationship with our God. If I ask the question tonight and I ask you to raise your hand, you don't have to do that because I know everybody would raise your hand. How many of us want to be struck with this deadly disease called sin? None of us. If you were going to raise your hand, please see me after services and tell me what was on your mind that we might be able to help you not go down that path. But none of us want to be touched or tainted with sin. That's one of the reasons why we're here tonight, to be uplifted and built up and have a message given to us to encourage us to remain faithful to our God. None of us want to commit sin. But the fact and reality of it is that we will. And we need to understand when sin comes into our life, it's of great importance for us to get rid of it right away. To not hold on to it, to not let it fester and grow and become some other sin, because it's deadly. The consequences are great. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear you. Well, we can reach a place in our life when we commit sin time and time again where that can very well be the outcome. True, when we think about sin, it originated with Adam. We can't deny that. We know that things were perfect, and Adam and Eve, we give them a heart. They messed everything up, placed in the perfect place, the garden of God. Sin comes along, they're enticed, and they commit sin. We understand that. But we also understand by looking at verses like Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, that each and every one of us is responsible for our own conduct. If we sin, we can't blame mother or father. I can't blame my enemy. I can't blame my brother or sister, whether in Christ or in a physical sense. I can't blame anybody for the sins that I commit. If I sin, it's because I consciously choose to do that sin myself. And I'll tell you, that is not a message that society likes to hear today. We have become a society of excuses. We like things our way until they're not our way, and then we blame somebody for messing it up. And when we look at Scriptures, we find that to be so foreign to Scriptures when it comes to this disease of sin. If we commit sin, it's because we longed to do that sin. We allowed it in our minds, we let it grow, and that's what we committed in our life to do. We need to appreciate that sin is fatal. I believe that we are losing the great appreciation that God had for sin, demonstrated by sending His Son to this earth to die on the cross. And I believe there could have been a whole host of other ways for Jesus to die. But He died on the cross, one of the most brutal ways to die. And I believe it paints a picture to us about how God feels about sin. It's ugly. It's awful. And He used the cross to demonstrate the picture of sin and how He feels about sin. In James chapter 1, let's turn over there for just a second this evening and emphasize what we've already said a few times. In James chapter 1 and verse 14 it says, "But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Now listen, it's important for us to understand what sin is and what sin is not. And the only way to truly know that is to study God's Word. And when we find something that is sin in Scriptures, we need to do our very best to stay as far away from that sin as possible. Because when we commit our lives to that sin, it brings forth death. It's serious. Brother Ted, if I told you this afternoon you were going to die, would that frighten you? Maybe it wasn't coming from me, right? Because you don't believe half of what I say, right? But if it was true and it was a reality and I told you you were going to die tonight, would that frighten you? Would there be a lot of concerns going on in your mind? A lot, right? You've got a family, a beautiful family. You want to be here for them, right? I think we need to appreciate this. When we commit sin, it's not a guessing game if we're going to die tonight or not. When we commit sin, death is taking place. It's that serious. And I want us to grasp that as we go into this lesson. When we talk about sin, we're speaking about something that is very serious in nature. It's as if somebody told you, you went in to see the great physician because you weren't feeling well and you thought it was a cold, and he said, guess what? You've got cancer. And you've got a few hours to live. It's serious, brethren. We need to appreciate that when it comes to sin. And I think when we begin to appreciate how serious and deadly the disease of sin is, then we really set ourselves up to be in a greater position to appreciate Jesus and how He needs to be in our life constantly. Luke chapter 18. Let's turn over there as we move to our second point and talk about those that are afflicted by sin. Ones who need the great physician. In Luke chapter 18, I've recently done a bunch of study on this text. Eventually, the brethren here, you'll get to hear that lesson. Still got some work to do on it. But in verse 13, it simply says this, "And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not as much raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now think about that for just a second tonight. There's a great message in this Luke chapter 18 and in these verses here, dealing with the Pharisee and the tax collector. And one of the great lessons that I see in this text here is this Pharisee's pride and how it blinded him, not only to his relationship and how God saw him, but the relationship of the tax collector and his relationship with his God. And this Pharisee tried to stand in the way of the tax collector making his life right with God. How many of us have been to a doctor? And we go in and they tell us this is what's wrong with us, and they give us some medicine. We take the medicine, it doesn't take care of the problem. And we go and we may see a different doctor, and the doctor says, that's not what's wrong with you, it's this is what's wrong with you. And they give you medicine and you're cured. Your problems are all gone. How do you feel in a situation like that? I know if you're like me, I get angry. I get bothered that this doctor over here didn't catch what was wrong with me, but this doctor did. I'm grateful that this one caught it, but angry that this one over here didn't catch my problem. When we are sick, we need help. And we need help then. And when I think about this text in Luke chapter 18, here is a Pharisee who should be in the position to aid and to help this tax collector, but because of the view that the public had on the tax collector, he wanted nothing to do with him. And definitely did not want to help him in any form or any fashion. Go back to our text in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. You ever been to the doctors and you go in and the doctor spends 10 seconds with you and tells you this is what's wrong with you and take these antibiotics and leave? He hadn't taken any time with you at all. You wonder if he even had a chance to smell your breath. He was in and out that quick. It doesn't give us a good feeling, does it? But when we speak about the great physician, he is deeply concerned for your well-being. He is deeply concerned where you are when it comes to this plague of sin. God was so concerned with you being right with Him that He sent His Son down to this earth to die for you. And we need to appreciate all of this. In Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 12, let's read it again. And Jesus, when Jesus heard that, He said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." We need to have faith in our physicians, don't we? We've all had doctors that we've had to turn away from. I've had a few in my lifetime. Once I sought out, when I found them, I trusted them, and then something happened. I didn't trust them anymore. And we seek out a new doctor. We don't have to do that with Jesus. How many times have we been to a local church and we spend time there for a little while? We don't like what's going on. Maybe we don't like the preacher. We don't like the elders. We don't like some of the members. So we pack up and we go to a different group. You see, we don't have to do that with Jesus. There's no need to look for a new physician, somebody with more credentials than Him. He is the Son of God. So we can go to Him. And we can have trust in Him that He will completely, He is capable and willing to completely remove the sin that's in our life. Some stay sick because they just don't believe it's going to do any good. I've had several friends, you know, I used to be like that. Heather would say, "Hey, Neil, you got a cold, you better go see the doctor. It's going to go into a sinus infection or go into an ear infection." "No, it won't. Just, you know, I'll be all right. Drink a Coke, that'll take care of it." And it doesn't. And I get sick, and then I have to go to the doctor, and there's more medicines that are needed. If I just had went there in the first place. You know, we're stubborn at times, but other times we believe the doctor's not going to help us. It's the same way with Jesus. We offer the gospel, but ones will say, "I can't understand the remedy. I don't understand the purpose of being dunked in the water." Even though Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 talks about it. One might say, "I'm too filled with evil. There's no way. You don't know the things that I've done in my life. There's no way that Jesus can remove my sins. They are too bad. I have to know more first before I come to this physician." You see, we get it all wrong, don't we? We stay sick because we don't believe He can truly heal us. I mentioned a young guy down in Burkesville, and I'm sorry I keep using him, but I'm fearful that some hold back from obeying the gospel because they're afraid if they do obey the gospel, eventually they're going to commit sin again. And so they hold back from obeying the gospel. Well, the fact and reality of it is nobody's perfect. And even though we obey the gospel, there'll be times in our life where we fall short of where we want to be. And we will do things that are contrary to what we believe. It's not that we are weak, but there are times when we are weak. There are many that are afflicted with this great disease of sin. And they are in desperate need of the great physician whom we know. Can we talk about Him for a few minutes tonight? Let's talk about the Son of God. Matthew chapter 4, let's turn over there. Why is Jesus the great physician? Why is it important that somebody that is lost and stained with sin, why is it so important that they go to the great physician? There's a couple of verses I want to look at, and then we'll leave you with the lesson tonight. But in Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, let's start there. And Jesus was led up, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards He was hungry. Now when the tempter came to Him, He said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took Him up into the holy city and set Him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." And then in verse 11, "And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." Now there's a whole bunch of ideas, great, wonderful lessons that we could pull from this text. But I just simply want to pull one from this text. And that is, our Jesus, our great physician, He has full knowledge about the disease of sin. And we see that play out here in Matthew chapter 4. He is tempted in ways that we could possibly not even imagine on this side of eternity. Him being God, John chapter 1, 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was there in the beginning when we were created. He was there when sin entered the world. He has watched Satan work his wily ways. He's fully aware of sin. Ask you a question, when did Jesus first experience suffering? When was that? You know, if not educated, we might say, well, when they seized him in the garden. When that that's when his suffering began. Boy, we've missed it by almost 30 years. His suffering began when he left the side of his Father to come to this earth, knowing full away, he was fully aware of what he was coming to this earth for, that he would take on the sins of this world. But yet he still came. You see, the physician whom I serve, the physician that I offer to the individual that is sick and stained with sin, this great physician understands all about your great ailment that you have in your life. And without a question, he has the exact right answer for it. He doesn't have to guess. He knows thoroughly how we were made and what his blood can do in our life. He is fully qualified for this task. Philippians chapter 2, let's turn over there for just a second. One of the questions I like to ask the physicians who I go to see before I start going to them is, hey, where did you graduate? And when they answer that question, I quickly get online when I get home and I research that place if I've not heard of it. I want to know where they graduated from. How educated are they? Are they coming from a school system that is known for producing great and wonderful doctors? Or is it some place that nobody's ever heard of? I want you to think about that as we read these scriptures and think about this great physician whom we're talking about tonight. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found, but made himself no reputation, not in the form of common, coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now pay close attention to these next couple of verses. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. And then verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hebrews chapter 5 further educates us that he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. I'll tell you, put these two verses together and it really cements in our minds tonight that he is fully qualified, without a shadow of a doubt, to act upon the sickness that's in your body, and that is sin. He is the only one that is qualified to remove that from your life. I love my children dearly. I would, without a question, without even a thought, die for them. But even dying for them would not remove the sin that's in their bodies. They need Jesus. They need the great physician. He is the only one that is qualified. And he has unlimited ability to take care of it. And we need to be thankful that he is willing, able, and even pleading with us tonight that we come to him, that we allow him to work in our lives. I want to close with saying that this great physician is reliable, he's infallible, and the remedy is offered right here and right now. It's not a test. I was called one time about a test product that they had. I was having some sickness, and the doctor had called me and said, hey, there's this new trial thing that they have going on. Do you want to try it? Well, how many people have tried it already? Well, you're one of the first. No, I want no part of that. None. When it comes to the idea of sin, this is not a trial thing that Jesus and God are putting on to see if it works. It has been tried, tested, and proved. He is the answer. No experiences necessary here. It will work. It will work the same on you as it has me. As it has for those in the past. When we turn to the book of Acts and in chapter 2, when that first gospel message was preached, it works then and it works today. That's how wonderful this great physician is. And he stands ever ready for us tonight to make the good confession, to have sin completely removed from our life. So the question really is for us tonight, is are we willing to go to the great physician tonight? If you're here tonight and not a child of God, I humbly ask of you, why not become one? Why not place your life in His hands tonight? As we've talked and reasoned with about Scripture tonight, He is the only one that you can go to have sin removed. There is no other person and no other place that you can go but to Him. That's it. Just Him. Many have tried and failed. And if you try to go any other way, or any other place to have your sins removed from you, you'll fall short. Just saying a prayer will not take care of that if you're an alien sinner. If you have not been baptized, just saying a prayer will not remove the sin that's in your life. You've got to be washed. But in order to be washed, you have to believe who Jesus Christ is. He is the Son of the living God. And you have to be willing to repent, because to come and be baptized with no intention to change your life, you might as well not do it. We've got to be willing to repent. So if that's you tonight, won't you come to the front? Make the good confession that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and allow us to baptize you tonight, as we talked about this morning, to have your sins washed clean and free from you. And if you're here this evening, and you're a child of God, and you've not been walking as you should, and maybe the only person that knows this is you and God, I want you to understand that you are sick tonight. Even if I don't know or anybody else knows the sin that you've committed, God knows, and He longs for you to come back to Him. And we pray that you'll do that. We're about to sing a song, The Great Physician. No better time to ask for forgiveness than here and now. And if you've done something you'd like to bring before the congregation and have us pray with you, we will do so with tender and sincere hearts, knowing we ourselves at some point have fallen short of the goals that we have set in our life, and that's to give God the glory and the praise that He's so richly deserving of. So if we can help you in any way, come to the front or raise your hand while we stand.